Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is usage and configuration of splitters and envelopers in WebSphere Partner Gateway. Today's presenters are Rohit Singh and Usha Nakani. Rohit has extensive experience in application development with the focus in Java, J2EE, and middleware technologies. He has been working with the development teams of WebSphere Data Interchange and WebSphere Partner Gateway since 2003. His contribution to other IBM products also includes grid computing and autonomic computing. He has AlphaWorks publication and paper presented in Eclipse Conference. Usha has extensive experience in application development with the focus in Java, J2EE, and middleware technologies. She has been working with the development teams of WebSphere Data Interchange and WebSphere Partner Gateway since 2007. She has developed the update installer for applying maintenance on WebSphere Partner Gateway. Her most recent publication includes Update Installer for Improving Fixed Delivery Process. Her expertise in other IBM products also includes grid computing and autonomic computing. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Usha.
Thank you, Joseph. Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for taking time to attend this WHT presentation. This is Usha. The goal of this presentation is to provide an overview on WebSphere Partner Gateway 6.2 splitters and envelopers. Moving on to slide number 2, today's agenda includes transformation supported by WPG, EDI overview, use cases, number 1, EDI to XML transformation, XML to EDI transformation, ROT to EDI transformation, EDI XML and ROD splitter overview, EDI XML and ROD splitter configuration, Enveloper overview and configuration, EDI Enveloper, EDI Envelope Profile, EDI Envelope Profile Attributes, EDI as Enveloped EDI, EDI Enveloping Batching and Scheduling, EDI options, connection profiles, control number initialization, and summary and references. Moving on to slide number 3. On the next few slides, we'll be seeing the transformation supported by WPG. Slide number 4. This slide shows the translation capabilities of WebSphere Partner Gateway. WPG supports translation of mainly 3 types of documents. Number 1, EDI documents. Number 2, XML documents. And number 3, ROD documents. WPG supports translations between any of these 3 formats. For translation of documents from one format to other, WPG makes use of maps which are deployed into WPG. These maps are picked up and applied into inbound documents to translate them. The map is picked up on the basis of the document's attributes and the trading partner pairs identified by business IDs. In case compliance of EDI documents, WPG has additional support of validating the EDI documents before it is sent for translation. In case of documents which are translated to EDI documents, WPG has additional capability to envelop the transactions into interchanges. The component of WPG which does this enveloping called enveloper. Joseph, could you please move the slide to slide number 5? In the next few slides, we will have a quick EDI overview. Moving on slide number 6. EDI is a method of transmitting business information over a network between business associates who agree to follow approved national or industry standards. WPG supports following EDI standards: EDI X12, UN EDI Pact, and UCS. Moving on slide number 7. On this slide, we will see the structure of EDI documents. This slide shows the basic EDI structure for X12, UCS, and EDI FAC document. There can be more than one transaction in an interchange. The transactions in an EDI document is encapsulated by transaction segment start and end. These transactions are grouped into a group using the group start segment and group end segment. Within one interchange, we can have more than one group. All the groups within an interchange are encapsulated by interchange start and end segment. For example, for an EDI X12 document, the beginning end and end of the interchange is marked by ISA and IEA respectively. The group starts with GS and ends with GE segment. Transactions start with ST and ends with SC segment. Moving on slide number 8. On the coming few slides, we will go through some use cases of transformation. Moving on slide number 9. This slide shows the use case of EDI to XML translation. The EDI to XML example shown here involves an incoming EDI X12 with none packaging, and then it passes through the hub where the EDI is translated into XML. The EDI document shown on the page with the EDI source business ID 123456789 and the target business ID to be 987654321 as marked on the slide. The initial basic configuration is to create the receiver configured for EDI splitter. Make sure that EDI splitter is only needed if the incoming document has multiple EDI interchanges. The EDI X12 is received by the receiver. It will then flow through the document manager where it gets unpackaged as the part of fixed workflow. And then the EDI is validated and de-enveloped. The EDI de-envelopes page extracts the EDI transactions from the EDI ISA, which is interchange. And then each of the EDI transactions is then converted into an XML. This is done by Document Manager. Moving on slide number 10. This slide shows the example of XML to EDI use case. An incoming XML with null packaging from the source trading partner passes through the hub, where the XML is translated to EDI document. And then the translated EDI document is sent to the trading partner too. The first step in the hub after receiving the XML document is to translate the XML to EDI transactions. The EDI transactions are then enveloped and again routed back into the document manager to get processed further. This is done on the basis of connection configuration. For translation of one format into other, the first step is to import the map using the WPG import wizard. If the incoming XML has multiple XML documents, the receiver needs to be configured with XML splitter. The XML splitter will pass the document and create the metadata that will be used by the document manager to extract the routing trading partner information. The XML document gets translated into EDI transactions through the action called XML translate and validate. After translation, the output transactions gets to be enveloped. Here, an envelope profile is used to do the enveloping. The EDI transactions that were generated in the translation phase now will go through the enveloping phase based on the scheduling of the enveloper and the other rules. Moving on slide number 11. This slide shows the use case of ROD to EDI translation. An incoming ROD with null packaging from the source trading partner passes through the hub, where the ROD is translated to EDI document. And then the EDI document is sent to the other trading partner. After receiving the raw document, the first step in the hub is to translate the ROD to EDI transactions. After that, EDI transactions gets enveloped and again gets routed back to the document manager for the further processing. If the incoming ROD file has many ROD documents, the receiver needs to be configured with ROD splitter. The ROD splitter will pass the document and create the metadata that will be used by the document manager to extract the routing partner information. The ROD document gets translated into EDI transaction through the action called ROD translate and validate. The output transactions will be enveloped into an envelope document. Moving on slide number 12. On the next few slides, we will go through the overview of EDI, XML and ROD splitters. Moving on slide number 13. Multiple EDI interchanges can also be sent in one file. If multiple interchanges arrive in one file, The receiver calls the EDI splitter handler to split the set of the interchanges. The interchanges are then reintroduced into the document manager to get processed individually. Remember that splitting is performed on the interchange, not on the individual transactions within the interchange. Moving on slide number 14, EDI splitter splits the single EDI documents having multiple interchanges into documents having single interchange. A ROD document definition typically represents a business document or a transaction, for example, a purchase order or invoice. The way in which this document definition is defined tends to be proprietary or specific to the particular application that generates the ROD document. ROD splitter parses the document definition created in DIS client and accordingly locates the beginning and end of each document within a single file and split it into individual ROD documents. XML splitter also locates the prologue of each document within the single file and splits it on the basis of the location of prologue of the XML document. Moving on slide number 15, in the next few slides, we will go through the configuration of EDI, XML, and ROD configuration. Moving on slide number 16, as you can see on the screen, to configure the splitter on any target, as in Hub Admin user, just select Hub Admin, Hub Configuration Targets. Click on the magnifying glass next to the file target. On the target details screen, click on Edit. In the Handler section, for configuration point handlers, use the drop-down menu to select the pre-process handler. Select the handler from the available list and click on Add. For example, for an EDI document, look for the EDI splitter handler. Once clicked, click on Save. The EDI splitter is now configured on the same target into which you have been putting the EDI FAT files. Moving on slide number 17, this slide shows the configuration page of EDI splitter. EDI splitter needs only the encoding of the incoming documents to be specified. It is needed to split the documents into individual interchanges and route them. Moving on slide number 18, this slide shows the configuration page for XML splitter. XML splitter needs only BCP underscore batch docs attribute on the incoming documents to be specified so that batching of individual transactions within the incoming documents is done. We will talk about batching in more details later in this presentation. Moving on slide number 19, this slide shows the configuration page of ROD splitter on receiver. as record-oriented data is very much customized and every trading partner might have their own way of specifying the document definition. That's the reason you can see there are a lot of attributes that need to be filled to configure the ROD splitter. ROD document is subjected to some pre-processing such as appending the information about its meta dictionary and meta documents on the documents which are received on this target. This information is essential for the further processing of ROD document. Now I would turn over the presentation to my co-presenter Rohit. Thank you so much.
Hello everybody. This is Rohit Singh. Please move on to slide number 20. So I'll be going through overview of Enveloper and its configuration. Please move to slide number 21. This slide describes the functionality of Enveloper. The Enveloper is a component that gathers a set of transactions to be sent to a partner, wraps them in an envelope, and sends them. You can schedule the Enveloper or accept the default schedule to indicate to WebServe Partner Gateway when you want the Enveloper to look for transactions waiting to be sent. You can also update the default values for the lock time, queue age, and batch mode. Setting the Enveloper is optional. If you do not change any of the values of the Enveloper, the product provided default values are used. Each instance of Document Manager has its own Enveloper. So in case of a multiple machine setup where you have more than one Document Manager, you'll need to have a locking mechanism. If you have two Document Managers installed on a system, you have two Envelopers running at the same time. It is possible, therefore, for two or more instances of an Enveloper to attempt to pull transactions waiting to be enveloped. To ensure that a given transaction is pulled by exactly one Enveloper, locks are used. Locks make sure that if multiple Envelopers are used, only one Enveloper pulls and processes a given transaction. Enveloper pulls simultaneously but work on different transactions. A time limit is set on the lock. The default value for an instance of the Enveloper to hold the lock is 240 seconds. If the Enveloper has to wait for the lock, it is placed in a queue. The maximum queue age, that is the length of time the Enveloper should wait, is 740 seconds. Typically, you will not need to change any of the default values provided for locking. Now, about batching. Multiple documents that arrive in one file are split according to the splitter handler you have set up for that type of document. One of the attributes of the splitter handler is BCG underscore batch docs. When BCG underscore batch docs is set to on, that is the default value, the splitter adds batch IDs to the documents after the documents are split. The Enveloper has an attribute for batch mode, which is related to the BCG batch docs attribute. If batch IDs were assigned to the individual documents, and if you accept the default value that is on for batch mode, the Enveloper makes sure that all documents that arrive together in the same file are processed before it envelopes and sends them to ensure that the transactions are enveloped together. For example, suppose five XML documents arrive in the same file. The XML documents are transformed into ABI transactions and are intended to be delivered to the same recipient. After only 3 of the documents have been transformed, the enveloper begins its scheduled polling for transactions. If batch mode is selected, the enveloper does not process the 3 transactions that are ready. Instead, it waits until all 5 transactions have finished processing before it envelopes and sends them. The transactions are placed in the same envelope unless the applicable EDI standard prevents this. Moving to slide number 22. This slide shows the details of envelope profile. An envelope profile determines values that are placed in specific elements of the envelope. You can assign the envelope profile to EDI transactions in the document definition. Envelope profile attribute. WebSphere Partner Gateway provides a predefined envelope profile for each supported standard, that is XTERL, EDIFACT, or UCS. You can use these predefined envelope profiles directly. You can modify them or you can copy them into a new envelope profile. The envelope profiles have one field for each element in the envelope standard. The profiles provided literal or constant data for building headers or trailer segments for transaction sets, messages, functional groups, and interchanges. You supply only the values that need to be populated and for which a value is not provided by any other source. The field names are designed to make cross-referencing easy. For example, the field UNB03 is the 3rd data element in the UNB segment. Attributes set anywhere else take precedence over the values you set in the envelope profile. Some of the attributes can be overridden in the document definition related attributes or maps. Moving to slide number 23. This slide shows the creation page for envelope profile. The top screenshot shows the creation and the bottom one shows how to edit the attributes for the envelope profile. You have tabs for editing general, interchange, group, and transaction attributes. Moving to slide number 24. This slide shows the attributes tab at interchange, group, and transaction level. Envelope attributes can be set at different points during the configuration process, and they can also be set in the transformation map associated with the documents. For example, the data interchange services client mapping specialist can specify the CTL num flag property when defining a map. This property can also be set as a part of the envelope profile in the control number by transaction ID field. Any attributes set in the transformation map overrides the related values set at the community console. For example, if control num flag is set in the transformation map as N and you enter a value of Y in the control numbers by transaction ID field, the value of N is the one that is used. Other envelope profiles can be set at the protocol level. From the Manage Document Definitions page or the B2B Capabilities page associated with a partner, or they can be set as a part of the connection. Moving to slide number 25, this slide shows example channel for enveloping. Both the source and target business IDs needs to be specified as the target attributes on the channel. So basically, we don't have any attributes, enveloping attributes to be specified and source business IDs to be specified as the source attributes of the channel. Moving to slide number 26. This slide shows the enveloping batching and scheduling example. The figure shows that there are transactions from T1 to T5 that are coming from for enveloping. These all belong to the same batch of the incoming document. Out of these, only T1 and T2 are ready for enveloping. At this point, if the batching is off, then both T1 and T2 will be picked up by an enveloper and enveloped into single EDI interchange and sent out to the trading partner. But if batching is on, then an enveloper will wait for other T2 to T5 transactions to get into ready state and then envelop all T1 to T5 transactions into one single interchange and send it out to the trading partner. Moving on to slide number 27. This slide shows the enveloper configuration page. Lock time is used to lock the database to prevent the multiple enveloper to access the same data. Max lock time is used for queuing database access request. Use batch mode is used to configure whether batching is on or off. To turn the batching on, we must check this checkbox and as well for XML and ROD splitter handler, the batch option, that is setting of the BCG underscore batch docs, must be put to value on. Moving on to slide number 28. This slide shows the use case for connection profile. This shows that how EDI transactions from the same input EDI needs to be enveloped into different output envelopes. Generated EDI envelopes may need to be sent differently via different packages or gateways. Or connection profiles are used to help make the decisions. Participant connections can have multiple connection profiles. For each connection profile, different attribute values can be specified. Moving on to slide number 29. This slide describes the details of connection profile use case. You use connection profiles with de-enveloped transactions and with EDI interchange created by the enveloped. For transactions, the connection profile determines how the transaction is processed after it is de-enveloped. For interchanges, the connection profile determines how the interchange is delivered. Use the connection profile window to create a new profile or to edit existing profile information. The name of each currently defined profile and its description, if any, are shown in the connection profile list. When an EDI interchange comes into WebServe Partner Gateway, the first action is typically to de-envelop the interchanges into individual transactions. When the transactions are created, the de-envelop action sets the interchange usage indicator and group information, that is, group application sender ID, group application receiver identifier, and group application password in the transaction metadata. Each transaction is then reprocessed by WebSphere Partner Gateway in its own workflow. Suppose you have two transactions of the same type, for example, 850 document, that needs to be handled differently depending on the group they were in or the values of their interchange usage indicator. If the usage indicator is production, that is P, for example, you might want one map A to be used, and if the usage indicator is test, you want a second map, that is B, to be used. Two similar connections are required for this 850 transactions. With the only difference being that one connection uses map A and the other connection uses map B. Because the transactions are otherwise the same, that is, they have the same source and target partners, package protocol and document type, the document manager needs a way to determine which connection to use. It does this by matching the connection profile attribute you set to the transaction metadata. In this example, if you create two connection profiles, that is, one CP production with the EDI usage type set to P and the other CP test with the EDI usage indicator set to P, the document manager matches the transaction with usage indicator P with the CP production profile. It then knows to use map A to translate the transaction. The example in this section uses the interchange usage indicator attribute, but you can also use the group application send application identifier, the group receiver application identifier, and group application password attributes as the distinguishing factor for a transaction. For interchanges, you use the connection profile qualifier one attribute. For example, suppose you are in the midst of migrating your company from using a WAN, which has a packaging of none, or the internet, that is the AS2 packaging. You want 840, that is request for quote transactions, to use WAN, and 850, that is purchase order transactions, to use the internet. You set up two partner connections, both with the same source interchange, but with different targets, one with none packaging, the other with AS2 packaging. The connection profiles help distinguish between these two connections. Moving on to slide number 30. This slide shows the example of 850 documents that are exchanged between training partner pair, but delivered to two different gateways depending on the connection profile. Moving on to slide number 31. This slide shows the connection profile creation page. So CPs are, that is connection profile, are associated with EDI transactions and interchange connections. For transactions, CPs are used to envelop them into different EDI envelopes and delivered to optionally different gateways. For interchange, CPs are used to possibly output them differently, like using different gateways. CPs are associated with the source or target of the participant connection. Moving on to slide number 32. This slide shows the example of two groups of transactions that are routed based on the application sender and application receiver IDs. The T1 transaction has these values as app1 and app2. This matches the connection profile 1. The T2 transaction has these values as app3 and app4. This matches the connection profile 2. Based on the connection profile, these documents are picked and gateways are chosen. Moving on to slide number 33. slide shows how to associate the connection profile. The example shows the participant connection for EDI transaction. Similar interactions are possible for generated EDI interchange connection. For the active CP, the appropriate source attributes, gateways, can be defined as appropriate. For an incoming document, the CP attributes are matched with the attributes in the incoming document, and once a match is made, the appropriate attributes and gateways are then applied. Moving on to slide number 34. This slide shows the page where the control numbers are configured. Control numbers are assigned to various parts of EDI interchange, groups, and transaction to provide uniqueness. Hub administrator can define the initial control number and the mask to be used when generating envelopes. The current control numbers between a source and target trading partner can be viewed in the console. The enveloper uses control numbers to provide unique numbering for interchanges, groups, and transactions within an envelope. Control numbers are established for the internal partner and for the external partner. When the exchange of documents take place, control numbers are also generated for the pair of partners. For each partner that has EDI B2B capabilities, there is a set of seed initialization values for control numbers. These values are used the first time an EDI interchange is created and sent between a partner pair. The initialization value applies to the partner to whom the interchange is sent. After a document has been sent from one partner to another, the last numbers used can be viewed in the current control numbers page. There can be several entries for a given partner pair if control numbers by transaction ID is set to Y. After an entry exists, it is used to generate new control numbers. As part of control numbers initialization, you can use masks to modify the normal control number creation by the developer. Masks are used to base the control number on either the interchange or group control number. For a given partner pair that already has data in the control table, you can change the control number generation. For example, you can use V to reset the control number generation for a pair to an initial state, or edit the interchange group or transaction number or any combination of these numbers and save it to the new value. Please note, resetting control number generation or editing a group or mask should be done with caution so that the numbers out of sequence or duplicate control numbers problems do not occur. You might want to perform either of these actions during test phase or if a partner specifically requests different control numbers. Moving on to slide number 35. So this brings us to the end of this presentation. Moving to slide number 36, summary and references. In this presentation, we have attempted to cover the basic use cases of translation supported by WPG with details. We have also explained the overview and configuration of splitter and envelopers. We have gone through details of envelope profiles and connection profiles. Now I'll hand it over to Joseph.
Thank you, Rohit and Usha, for a great presentation. Thanks again for your participation. At this point in time, Tima, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We do have one question from Rahul Nair. You may ask your question.
I just have a question, like whether that envelope scheduling with the batch on, whether it will be a, for a particular trading partner we can set, or it is set at only the global level?
It is set at the global level.
So if I have a requirement, say, for particular partner, I am using enveloper 1, and particular certain partner, I am using enveloper 2. So I have to be scheduled at a different timing. Is it possible?
We basically have only one enveloper, though they can be two instances running internally, which is not exposed outside. So you cannot really specify which enveloper will pick documents for which partner.
Yeah, yeah, that we can specify, but I want the enveloper one to be like getting batched at certain point of time, say some 2400 seconds, and enveloper to another partner which has to be like batched for every some 1200 seconds. Like that, is it possible, or it's only one time, like I can specify 2400 irrespective of the envelope profiler we have, it will be grouped at that particular time?
It's only once that you can specify.
Okay. And one more thing is, like if I have a certain transaction coming for with different group IDs, so I need to batch based on the partner ID and as well as the group ID also. How it is possible? Because I can see the enveloping is only based on this ISA segment alone. If I want to, like, based on group ID also, I need to batch some transaction. What is the configuration we need to specify?
Okay, so if I understand correctly, you want to differentiate between the transactions based on the group IDs.
But in enveloper profile, we could specify only that sender ID and receiver ID at interchange level, not at the group level, right?
Right.
So it will group only based on that interchange level sender ID and receiver ID.
That's right.
So, but if my transaction is coming, say, same sender ID, first transaction will have one group ID, second transaction will have another group ID. The same is repeating, and I want to group, like, batch based on group ID as well. Like, one for this sender ID, for this particular group ID, I need to batch two transactions, which is coming in between that scheduled timing, and another transaction with a separate group ID. How to specify that? Because the envelope profile will only group based on sender ID and receiver ID and at the interchange level.
That is not possible, because the whole of EDI interchange is treated as a single batch.
Yeah, yeah, single batch, I agree. Like, it is not necessarily, like, for my partner, I will send one ISA with different group, inside different group segments. So, for first message, I am coming the ISA with sender ID and receiver ID, where the group ID will be A, and I will have one transaction inside that. Another time, the next message will be coming with the same ISA segment, with the group ID as B, and inside some ST segment. So this A and B should not be grouped, should be grouped under single ISA, right?
Right.
So the fourth message is with, the fourth message, third message is coming with ST segment with group A. So in this case, it should be grouped with one ISA. The group A should have two transaction segments, and group B should have only one. Right?
Can you email this question in detail, and I can give you a detailed answer?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think there are lot many scenarios that you are talking about.
Yeah, yeah, because this is the common requirement. Like, based on group ID also, I need to envelope. Because if I am grouping each and every instruction, the EDI message, I can't say that it will be grouping only based on ISA level. because there is every possibility we need to be group it on group level also. Okay, anyway, I will elaborate my question through mail.
Yeah, that will be better.
And one more thing, that control number initialization, you have, I have seen that there's something called mask and number. What is that exactly? If I want to specify for this partner, I start from this control number. How to specify that?
If you want to specify, you want to start from suppose 0001 or suppose 9010 something like that. So you can just enter that value there in the start initial control number initialization page, and from then on, each interchanges that are exchanged between those trading partners, that control number will be incremented by one each time an interchange is sent. For interchange control number, for group as many groups, and for transaction as many transactions, by that number the control number will be incremented.
Just a bit. Can you go back to that control number slide once again? Okay, so in this I see that there is an interchange, and inside which there is a group number mask and transaction at number mask. So here I need to specify where the, what is the number to start it. So every transaction it will be incremented.
That's correct.
So here, so what's the current number also I can view using current control number, right?
That's correct.
Okay. That group number and what is that mask? And what
the mask is like if you want to, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. The group number also it is a group control number. So what is that mask exactly, significance of that mask?
The mask is acts like a filter. Like suppose you want only till 4 digits, or suppose 5 digits only. Like your control number starts from 0 to 10,000. Now,
yeah.
Again, from after 10,000, you want to get it reset to 0. So such kind of mask can be provided in the mask field. And details you can find in our Hub Admin Guide about each mask values.
Could you please explain with some scenario where I will be exactly using that mask, because I am trying to just understand where exactly the mask will be useful.
One example is like you want the digits to be like 5 digits only, the control numbers.
Okay.
So you can specify a mask such that your control number starts to 0, it will go to 1, 2, 3 till 10,000 and again get reset to 0. Such an thing you can do using mask.
So it means like if I need to increment the control number by 2, I need to specify the mask as 2. Is it something like that?
No. I'm saying the control numbers length and all those things.
Okay.
You can find the details in the Hub Admin Guide.
Okay.
WPG. It has specified the details of how each kind of mask can be used and what are their results.
Okay. And what is it, some drop down with the C, I, I, N, I, N, C, V, those are all?
Those are the type of mask that we can use to specify.
And I can reset this control number at any point of time or...
You can do that any point of time, but you should be very careful when you do that. Because suppose your running control numbers are from 0, suppose you have reached 300. Now, if you reset to again 0, so again all the interchanges will have the control number of 0. So, at your trading partner who receives the document, they may see this as a duplicate document, because the control numbers is through which trading partner determines whether the document is a duplicate or new one. So only when you have consulted your trading partner or your trading partner has requested to reset a control number, then only you should do.
Okay. Okay, I will go through this once again and I will mail you the further details are required on this aspect. But I will mail you the group sender ID requirement also.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
There are no other questions at this time.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation.